When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza!
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Offers require port-in of number not currently active on T-Mobile network. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams up to 40p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is Mike the Birdman Dunn, and you are listening to 10 years of ThisWeekInGeek.net. Believe me, I don't know how you put up with my shit for this long.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast arena. Coming to the ring at this time...
Oh, you didn't know? You're after to call somebody!
First, representing This Week in Geek, and from parts unknown, he is Mike the Birdman Don.
I am one hardcore D.
His tag team partner, representing the Geekcast Radio Network, and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is Mike TFG1 Blanchard.
I got four words for you. Check out my ass.
And from the Great White North, here is your special guest referee, Ryan, the Uneven Flow.
The Mountie always gets his man.
You are listening to Mayhem Mike. And now, let's get ready to podcast.
I want some ho-hos.
Hello. You've reached Domino's Pizza.
For close to a century, women have more than held their own in the male-dominated industry of sports entertainment.
There's your winner, Mae Young.
Matt Mavens like Mae Young helped shatter the proverbial glass ceiling, inspiring generations who would blaze a path.
It's a blaze for sure!
Taking their preternatural skills to unprecedented heights.
All or nothing of the moonsault!
The power and strength of the Glamazon.
Twin magic.
Leading to a revolution in the women's division.
What a sight! A groundbreaking moment. The celebration of a new era in WWE.
The greatest era of women's wrestling of all time.
Now, for the first time in history, 32 women from all over the globe take their rightful place in the spotlight, celebrating the legacies of those who have paved the way while showcasing their modern-day virtuosity. Tonight, these 32 competitors vie for all the glory, the honor, and the prestige of winning the inaugural Mae Young Classic.
Hello and welcome to Mayhem Mike's. This is episode 26. I'm, of course, Mike TFG1 Blanchard. Joining me is Ryan the Flow Merkley. Hello, sir.
Yo.
And as I said at the end of 25, I wasn't sure what we were going to be doing or when it would be back, but we're back and we're talking about, there's no pay-per-views, folks. Well, not in the traditional sense anyway. But yeah, we're going to tackle the first four episodes of the Mae Young Classic, which is the WWE's all-female wrestling wrestlers tournament. So,
because they started this trend with the Cruiserweight tournament, and then they followed that up with the European tournament, or United Kingdom, championships, and yeah, now they're doing, Mae Young Classic, and the first four episodes encompasses the first round. Full disclosure, the start of the second round is on Monday being September 4th. Jeez.
Like, damn, you fast-forwarded us to the end of the month already. Jeez, dude.
Jumping ahead. Yeah. Hey, that's practically how they've felt.
Yeah, really.
In September already.
Yep. The, yeah, when they first started advertising this on the shows on Raw and SmackDown and whatever else and wherever else pay-per-views, I'm like, oh, okay. So it's 4 episodes. Well, oh, that's just round 1. I'm like, okay, well, that works. We'll split it up into rounds. It's not that big of a deal. And 4 episodes of... These episodes ranged from, I think, 46 minutes to 50-something minutes was the last one. So, yeah. I mean, it's not like it's a 3-hour show, thank God.
Cough, cough, yeah. Or 6-hour WrestleMania.
Exactly.
Or SummerSlam, or... Yeah, it's more like the NXT episodes. There's sort of minimal storytelling and backstage segments. They do quick little vignettes.
Yeah, they do quick video packages, yeah.
Yeah, in front of each of the matches to kind of give at least some idea of who the wrestlers are and what they're about. Mm-hmm. And it is commentated by Jim Ross and Amy Dumas, better known as Lita.
Yep.
So apparently... They had to re-record their commentary. There was something wrong with the first recording of it. And so this is actually the second recording that we're listening to of, I don't know if it's all of it. I don't know if it's only a few matches here or there. But apparently there was something up with it. In any case, the commentary is really good.
Yeah, this makes me miss JR on... Raw and or SmackDown, it doesn't matter which. I don't care. I love JR.
The only overall negatives, I'll just get them out of the way because there's not many, is a lot of these are very young wrestlers. Yeah. So some of them that were included are very early 20s or 20.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some of them are a little raw, and some of the matches are not great. I'm not going to point out which ones or anything, because that's unfair. The other issue with that is a lot of these people have never faced each other before, and it's hard to get sort of a timing. The other thing, too, is you want to show off both people. You don't want a scenario, because, I mean, for a lot of these women, this is their WWE tryout, or for some of them, they've been signed for a while, but they've never been shown on television. Or this is sort of to see how they react in front of a live crowd. Or there's all these different factors that make this pretty difficult to pull off and pretty high pressure for them.
Yeah, and this is, you know, like Ryan is saying, this is not the polished product. This is the developmental portion of it. It's, you know, like you said, their potential television debut and all of that. I was, like, I went into this knowing this was not going to be lights, camera, action, Monday Night Raw, Tuesday Night SmackDown, or SmackDown Live, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I knew that going in, because this is, you know, like I said, the developmental. And honestly, I'm digging it. Like,
yeah, just that's about all of the negatives I've got. I mean, the overall, it's still quite good, and some of them absolutely stand out, more so than some of the... more so than a lot of the wrestlers, male or female, on Raw, SmackDown. The hour-long format, even though the downside is the matches are shorter, and so some of them you just can't really tell a story, especially when both characters, both wrestlers need to get at least something in, because that's the whole point of this, is to showcase a lot of the talent. But it's... even with that, it still works, and some of them tell a better story than 12 backstage segments on Monday Night Raw do. I mean, one of the issues is all the waste of time. Raw is 3 hours, and that's way too much. We've been over this 100 times. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but this is an example. This could do with a little more time. But it still works, and some of these women, a lot of them, are talented enough that they tell a story or show off their character in ring. And a couple of the young ones really wowed me. I don't know. Did you take any notes or?
Yeah, I've got some notes. I took notes at like I took notes episode by episode.
To make history
as I was watching them but yeah, like, because like I said, this isn't the polished product, which means there's virtually no there is some storyline, but like you said, there these most of these women are facing each other for the first time, so there really is no storyline buildup. They can build their character as they're walking down the ramp and to the ring and doing their show-off type stuff and all of that, but this is pretty much pure athleticism within WWE. There's no drama. There's, like you said, there's no, I mean, hell, Lita and JR kept throwing back to Charlie in the tournament room or whatever the hell they were calling it, you know, tournament central or whatever, you know, so it's not like Raw or SmackDown. And honestly, I'm digging it. I think it was cool.
Yeah, and hit on another one of the positives too, which is without those vignettes, without all the backstage stuff, it's pitched as a straightforward athletic competition, which is made easier because JR and Lita say win or go home an awful lot during this.
Yeah.
And man, that works so much better to me than the whole who cares about wins and losses attitude that seems to just cover SmackDown and Raw.
Yeah.
You know, you've got guys like Finn Balor who run down their opponents, no offense to Balor, and he's right, by the way, like Bray Wyatt when he says, you don't care about wins and losses. Well, seemingly nobody does, because they just kind of bounce back and forth. And the way this is pitched and the way it's commentated, because there's such a focus on winning over losing, which any actual non-predetermined sport has, it just feels more genuine, and JR and Lita do such a good job with all of them.
I forgot how good a two-person commentator team was.
Yes.
Like, we've had...
And they're not selling or advertising anything either.
That's one thing I did notice a couple of times on a couple of the comebacks from whatever, like, you know, we'll be back or whatever. I did notice that Lita eventually took it from JR, but took it over from JR, because JR did the Rocket League ad, I think, like once in the four episodes, and then the rest of the time it was Lita doing it. JR mentioned the WWE Network like twice, I think, or maybe but yeah, you're right. They don't have to necessarily shill every single thing that is shilled on Raw and SmackDown, which is nice.
When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza!
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Offers require porting of number not currently active on T-Mobile network. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams at up to 40p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.
It just makes for such a difference, and it feels like the old commentating that a lot of us grew up with, or that was really popular in the Attitude Era.
Yep.
Where it wasn't just buy the app or go to WWE.com now and download, you know, all this other stuff that they just keep inserting. And they sit there and they talk about the wrestlers and the matches. And even the jokes are, okay, so again, this will give away the timing of this, but whatever. JBL's gone.
We were going to talk about that at the end.
We'll talk about that in another episode when we get back to actual WWE.
Yeah.
But I'm bringing it up here because he would go off on these long stories to tell a joke.
Mm-hmm.
When Lita or JR tell a joke, it's related to what's happening in the ring or the wrestler, or it's something they're doing related to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like JR repeatedly brought up the, or at least a running joke, was him wearing Tony Storm's hat.
Yep.
Versus his own. But it was so quick. It wasn't, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell a story for 3 minutes out of the match.
Yep.
It was just quick little comments. And it was still about the wrestler that's in there. It mm-hmm. wasn't, you know, Booker is bad at this too. Goes off and starts telling a story.
Yep.
It doesn't actually have anything to do with anything we're watching in the ring.
No.
But he just keeps going. Anyway.
So episode one, the matches in this episode were Kaylee Ray versus Princess Shuri? I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Most likely. There's that match. There's Serena Deeb versus
I think it's Suhi.
That sounds right. Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. I could be off too.
Yeah, no. I do remember JR saying it that way. So yeah, you're right. Serena Deeb versus Vanessa Bourne. Shayna Baszler versus Zeta. And Abby Leith versus Jazzy Gabbert. And yeah, this this opening was great. Do you have out of these first four matches here? Did you have a favorite?
The ones I want to get. So there's Abby Leith versus mm-hmm. Jazzy Gabbert, which was, I thought, the best match of the bunch. Jazzy Gabbert has worked in TNA and some other places, and good Lord, does she have a great look to her?
Mm-hmm.
She was the German. One who just looked like she could beat the crap out of pretty much anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And she just carried herself with such weight. So I was super impressed with her. Even though she lost and didn't get a whole lot of offense in Kaylee Ray, mm-hmm. some of her stuff in the opener, her strikes and that kind of thing. I like, she's got a good look to her. She just,
to see her win.
Yeah, and then the other one was, it was kind of cool seeing Serena Deeb. I remembered her from something, and then they quickly showed the fact that, yeah, she was part of the Straight Edge Society with CM Punk way back when in WWE, and she lost her job pretty quickly there, and I mean, they even mention it.
Yeah, they talk about her journey because she was using alcohol and things like that. And yeah. The other thing we have to draw attention to here is that this is the first time. Now, I don't think this is going to happen on Raw or SmackDown anytime soon. Maybe any of the NXT women's matches, sure. We have our first ever WWE female referee in Jessica Carr. Which was really cool.
Yeah.
What?
Let's just say WWE tends to erase things they don't like. They have had other female referees, one of which sued the company because she was sexually harassed / assaulted.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So anyway, they've scrubbed her from the record books. But for all intents, the exact line is she's the first full-time referee, which is actually accurate.
Yeah, that's...
But,
sorry.
Yeah, no, it's not your fault. It's just, I don't like WWE just dumps people who, for example, Eva Lise, who displayed a decent amount of talent coming up in NXT and on Tough Enough, was one of the ones that got Bill DeMott fired for basically being a piece of shit. And because of that, she, you know, lost her job with WWE very rapidly and is never going to be allowed back. I don't like how they do some of that stuff. Obviously, certain times it makes sense to not mention anybody, one wrestler in particular that I don't want to bring up or talk about. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, certain WWE superstars, whether they be male or female, have really, really complicated histories. And sometimes with very, very tragic outcomes. Anyway, yes, but Serena versus Vanessa. I liked Vanessa when she came out. I was hoping she was going to win just based on her, the way she was talking and whatever else, but she just couldn't back it up. Like, she barely got any offense in. She got maybe one or two things. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I think she's there to try to make Bourne look good. Bourne is 28 years old, and she has not been doing this an exceptionally long amount of time. And so I think that's part of the reason to pair her up with her. And yeah, Serena won. I expect there's a chance she turns this into, she might become a trainer or something like that.
Yeah.
She's 31, so her, you know, the best part of her career isn't necessarily behind her, but
yeah,
she's not the youngest on this, although there are older ones too, so.
The Shayna Zeta match, or Zeta, the beginning of this, the back and forth submission stuff, that looks like a nasty cat fight. It was awesome, but it just looked like they were two cats scratching each other to death.
It's interesting that they put the two characters or two girls together who have done MMA, one for a much longer time than the other, but it made for a good match, and it was really well thought out that they established both of them, and yeah, it was well done. And Zeta, I'm hoping it's Zeta. Anyway,
I think they said Zeta, but they pronounced it D more than T. And all of the first thing I thought was, like, you know.
Yeah, she works for WWE, first of all, and she just works at the Performance Center. So she's one of the extremely young ones to come through this. And this is just kind of like a first look at her. So, yeah, and it went pretty well. They paired her up with an established veteran, which was really smart too. So,
The thing with Jazzy Gabbert, the whole time I was watching her and Abby's match, and then we can move on to episode two here, is I thought, damn, that's the next Beth Phoenix.
Yeah, I really like her. I hope they do actually sign her.
That would be really cool.
This is the other one, Abby Lathe, has wrestled quite a bit in the independents. Engine is also extremely good, so.
Absolutely.
Congratulations to all of you. To me, this has been a long time coming, and I'm happy for all of you to have this opportunity. You've done this against all odds. You've done this with people telling you you can't do it. There's your glass ceiling. I'm going to give you the platform to smash through that like it's not even there. So make the most of it, okay? Congratulations and good luck.
The first round of the historic Mae Young Classic is officially underway. After some scintillating action in our first episode, four women have advanced.
She did it!
Four have been sent packing. The bar has already been set very high.
Well, how bad do you want to be?
Yes! Oh! I can't believe this is finally happening!
We're seeing a lot of physicality here.
Listen to the excitement in the room.
There's a lot of folks that are starting to pay attention to the Mae Young Classic.
In this episode, eight more competitors will have a chance to advance. But only four will succeed. The Chinese Kung Fu practitioner, Xia Li, does battle with the seasoned heavy hitter, Mercedes Martinez. The sassy Dominican lioness, Marty Bell, faces off with the second-generation powerhouse, Rachel Evers. The 20-year-old prodigy, Aussie Rhea Ripley, faces off with the petite powder keg, Miranda Salinas. And the second-degree black belt rebel, Mia Yim, brings her Taekwondo expertise against Kentucky strong Sarah Logan. The Mae Young Classic continues right now.
Episode 2's matchups are Mercedes Martinez versus Zia, Rachel Evers versus Marty Bell, Rhea Ripley versus Miranda Salinas, and is that it? Yeah, I think so. No, Mia Yim versus Sarah Logan.
Yeah, that was the main event, and probably the best match in the night again. They seem to save the best ones for last, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Favorite one for me out of this was probably the Rhea Ripley match. I like the way those two matched up between her and Miranda. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. That was pretty solid. Rhea Ripley looks really good early on.
Yeah.
Her kicks and the way she's able to move. She's 20 years old. Both of these women are extremely young.
Mm.
But Ripley moved on here, and she's 20 years old. And she just... There's something about her,
mm-hmm.
I think. She's got a bright future, I think.
Yeah. Even if she doesn't win this whole thing... I hope they eventually sign her, you know, put her into NXT or something.
If you mean Ripley, she's signed to WWE already.
Oh, okay.
But this was her first sort of major show off, because like I said, she's 20 years old.
Yeah.
And man, like some of her stuff, so she did a couple drop kicks in this, which, just so crisp.
Mm-hmm.
Better, some of the best drop kicks I've ever seen since Kurt Hennig and some of the real greats at it. So she really impressed me with that. And yeah, the main event, like I said before, really impressed me. Sarah Logan is another one, really young. She's 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She is actually signed as well. She's another one that's part of WWE.
Okay, good. Because, yeah, I was hoping Sarah was going to win, because, I mean, she just looked so strong in this.
Yeah, they did a good job of really building her up, but it was another one. I think for a lot of the younger ones, it's just they want them there for the experience. They're not necessarily ready to move on, which is why I'm a little surprised that Ripley moved on, but I'm perfectly okay with it. But, yeah, Sarah Logan, I think she has a... very strong career ahead of her.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We, like I said before, we had Rachel Evers versus Marty Bell. This one was a good match. Wasn't the best match, but it was enjoyable.
It was all right. Yeah, yeah. I thought Evers looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
The end was a little bit sloppy, but it happens. I talked about it before, that first time, and you get some younger ones. You know, Evers is 24 years old.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think she's another one. You know, any of the women that were on any of this, win or lose, when they're young, all of them acquitted themselves more than well enough to be on television again in the future, and I suspect they probably will be.
Absolutely. This is going to be, any of these women that lost their matches and were told to go home, because as we've said, and as JR and Lita said, that was the basis of this tournament. Each of these matches were 15-minute matches, and you basically, they didn't, it's not like a beat the clock thing, thank God, but, you know, basically it's a 15-minute match, you have to win in that amount of time.
Yeah, most of them run about 5, by the way. Actually, most of them run less than 5. The majority of them about 3 or 4 minutes, which is why, you know, I stated earlier that it's tough to kind of tell a story. Mm-hmm. That's what the women used to get in the Attitude Era and the somewhat post Attitude Era when they weren't getting any TV time. It's hard to tell a decent story, although I shouldn't say that, because I mean some of those matches were under a minute. That was actually pretty regular that a women's match would be under 2 minutes. So blech, that's not good.
No. We also had in this episode Mercedes Martinez versus Zia. This was an interesting one. I thought it was one of those matches where you've got two very different styles coming together and working fairly well together.
Yeah. I thought it was a really good match.
Yep, absolutely. Episode 3, we had Toni Storm versus Aisha Raymond, Dakota Kai versus Kavita Devi, Bianca Belair, versus Sage Beckett, and
Piper Nevin versus Santana Garrett.
Yes, Santana Garrett. I was not expecting Piper to win.
No, they seem to. So, first of all, the only negative I have to say about this episode really is they did a lot of. This seemed to be the episode of the much larger or stronger woman versus the weaker or smaller one, which is a little weird that they had all of them on. It might have been better to
spread it out
between episodes, but it's going to happen. Again, the tournament is set with the idea of showcasing and giving these women the chance to show themselves off versus, hey, this is going to work for TV.
Mm-hmm.
So, standouts here, good lord, Toni Storm, I think, is a future star. It was sort of a short match, and the end was a bit awkward, but she's got something. She has charisma.
Yeah, she does. And they can add so much to her character. And like you said at the beginning of the show here, her JR talking about her hat and his hat, that was hilarious.
Everything just seems to work well on these in this entire thing, especially with regards to the commentary. If either JR or Lita wanted to step in for JBL, or if we get Mauro back,
that would be very nice. Yeah, that would be awesome. That was the other thing I forgot to mention. This didn't happen in the very first episode, but it happened in this one and all the other ones. It happened in 2, 3, and 4. The first episode, Stephanie introduced it, and she has this nice long video montage package thing that you all would have heard at the beginning of the podcast. But after that, Mauro takes over introduction duties, and I was like, hey, it's Mauro. I knew from what you told me, I knew that he was doing NXT stuff.
Yeah.
I knew that, but I just was not explaining. I was just expecting Steph to do voiceovers for the whole thing because it's a women's thing. I wasn't even expecting JR to be there.
It's nice if they kind of rotate them and that kind of thing. It would be nice if Steph maybe did sort of guest commentary or had something to do with the final episode / final of the tournament. I mean, I guess we'll see, but
yeah, we'll see eventually. Yeah. Dakota Kai versus Kavita Devi.
Kai has a long way to go. Devi has a long way to go.
Yeah.
Trained by the great Kali, which... not sure if that's a great thing, but hey.
Yeah.
She does the power moves well, though. And she's got a really good look to her, so I really hope she keeps it up. Dakota Kai is... So she works with WWE. Both of these women, by the way, are signed to WWE. But Dakota Kai has worked in NXT, a couple other things. But the two moves she did at the end, so she's got that kind of running kick where she runs in sort of a half circle versus just going straight towards the corner like Sami Zayn does with his.
Yeah.
But man, does it look like she connects with a ton of force.
Oh, yeah.
I really like that. And then her finisher was essentially the coup de grace, Finn Balor's finisher, which is a double stomp from the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
She does it better than Balor does. So And Balor's one of the best wrestlers in the world right now. Yep. But oof, she, I'm really looking forward to seeing more of her as the tournament goes on. She meets the one we talked about in the earlier, Rhea Ripley, the 20-year-old with the colossal legs and really strong kicks as well. So I am looking forward to that match because Kali definitely has talent.
Yeah, absolutely. We had Bianca Belair versus Sage Beckett. Bianca won this.
Both of them WWE workers.
Okay, I liked Sage a little bit more in this. Bianca's good. She is, but I liked Sage a little bit more.
Yeah, Sage Beckett. So they're both, I don't know how to say this properly. They're both not the youngest in here. Beckett is 32 years old and was trained by the Dudleys, in case you couldn't tell by some of the moveset, which was pretty cool. And Belair is 28 and has really only been doing this for about a year. And that's part of the reason why I think this one was not perfect. And Beckett was solid enough. I want to see both of them keep working, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I remember JR, it was either JR or Lee, one of them, I think it was JR, pointed out that she had, that Sage was trained by the Dudleys. And it's not painfully, but it's very pleasantly obvious to realize that,
I did like Belair hits her with the whip of her braid before her finisher in this match. I noted that. I really liked that. It doesn't, stuff like that doesn't get used often enough. You know, it's something that if you're a heel or something, you can use a part of your body or something you have that somebody else doesn't to win. I don't know. It's kind of free, cheap heat there. Yep.
And the final match for this episode was
Santana Garrett.
Santana Garrett and Piper Niven. This one was...
So Niven is not signed. She's 29 years old. I'm surprised she's not, because she looks very much like what WWE usually likes.
Yeah, she's not as big and strong as, say, God damn it. What is her name?
I don't know.
Not Nia. Yeah, Nia Jax. That's what it is. She's not as big as Nia is, but that's the impression I got.
I think you're mixing them up. Nevin's the larger of the two.
I know.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, Garrett, no.
Garrett reminds me a little bit. She's got sort of the...
Sasha.
Yeah, but a little taller build.
Yeah.
And as for Nevin, she's 26, and she's worked in a number of different places. I don't think either of them, I could be wrong on this, I don't think either of them are signed by WWE. In fact, I'm pretty sure they're not. But yeah, that's, they put on a very good match. I mentioned it earlier that everybody kind of has the David versus Goliath setup in this. I thought this one told the story the best out of the bunch of them.
Yeah, it did. Absolutely did. The reason why I compare Niven to Nia Jax is because of her size. Because she's a bigger wrestling woman, and that's, you know, put Nia next to Alexa or next to Sasha or, you know.
And that's what I mean. That's someone they don't normally sign until really recently. Mm-hmm. Whereas Garrett's kind of got the look they usually go for.
Yeah.
But either one of them, I'm kind of sad to see Garrett go out early. I'm sad to see most of the, actually not most of, I'm sad to see any of the women go out early. Because, I mean, the second round matches are going to be better quality. They'll have a full day of work in front of cameras, that kind of thing. in their pockets and possibly have a little more familiarity with the other women, having been able to watch them. So it's really unfortunate that anybody has to lose in the East. So.
Yeah, it really is.
I felt the same way during the Cruiserweight Championship. And if you ever want to see what 205 Live probably should be, that tournament was a good example, because they were allowed to wrestle their way. And then for some reason, when they get to WWE, they go, no, you can't wrestle like that. Well, okay, then why are they any different from anyone else on the roster? I don't know. Yeah, thanks, WWE.
Yeah. Good old WWE. Episode 4, and this will be our final review here for this episode of the Mayhem Mikes, but featured Renee Michelle versus Candice LeRae, Tanara Conti versus Lacey Evans, Savoy versus Gonzalez, and Tessa Blanchard versus Kairi Sane.
Where to start? So, the opening match, Candice LeRae is an indie wrestler. Mm-hmm. I'm fairly certain she's signed to NXT. Actually, I am quite certain. Married to Johnny Gargano, thus the Candice wrestling chants, which were amusing. Mm-hmm. But good match.
Yeah, it was a good match. It was a really, really good match. The only kind of thing I commented on was Candice Michelle's ring attire. She looks like Santa's little helper.
Yeah.
Like, really? Seriously? I mean, I don't not like the attire. The attire's fine, but, you know, Candice just...
Yeah.
It was matched. It was fairly evenly matched until it wasn't, and Candice just kind of out-wrestled her at the end.
The only thing, you know, Renee Michelle, that is, could... I think she needs more time in front of a camera, working a WWE ring, that kind of thing. Her kicks and stuff looked fantastic, I thought. And then she just had a couple things that didn't look as good, but... she's one that, with some seasoning, could be quite good. And I gotta say, I really like Candice Michelle's finisher, which was a sort of second rope neck breaker.
Candice LeRae, but yeah.
Candice LeRae, sorry.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's the second rope neck breaker. That was just, oh, brutally cool.
Yeah, I like that finisher. Same with, I forgot to mention, Piper Nevins got sort of a weird Michinoku driver as her finisher. That was really nice, too, so.
Yep. And then Tanara Conti versus Lacey Evans. I don't know how evenly matched they were. It seemed like it was, like, one way and then the other way. It was back and forth a little bit on who was going to win.
I thought they both looked really good in terms of their wrestling ability, though. They've combined wrestled next to none. So Conti's 22 years old. Mm-hmm. They're both signed to WWE. And Conti, I have no idea how many, but she has very few matches wrestled, period. And Evans doesn't have a whole lot more. So the fact that I thought it actually looked pretty good, they've got some good, there's something there with both of them in the future. Right. And I mean, Evans won and gets to move on. Evans, I'm curious how she'll look, because she faces Toni Storm, who I thought just comes off as a star and looks like $1 million. But there's potential for both of these. I think it doesn't surprise me that they're both WWE wrestlers, because they both have, looks like, a lot ahead of them. I was impressed.
Absolutely. And then we had, what was the next one here?
Savoy versus Reina Gonzalez. Versus
Gonzalez.
So Nicole Savoy, and this is not her fault, by the way, whoever wrote up this match, and they keep talking how she's the queen of the suplexes, et cetera, et cetera, and then performs exactly zero suplexes.
Yep.
That was not a good decision, but no. she gets to move on, and she's moving on against Candice LeRae, who we saw earlier in this episode.
Yep.
So I think that'll be a lot better for her. And that's not to say Gonzalez just works a... I think she just works a style that's harder for Saville. I don't think she's used to wrestling somebody who's probably about 200 pounds and just looks much bigger than she is.
Mm.
So something about the styles, it just didn't necessarily mesh that well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and that's... I mean, there are going to be plenty, whether it's the women, whether it's the men, it doesn't matter. There are going to be plenty of wrestlers that meet up against each other, and their styles just don't clash. No pun intended, AJ. But it's one of those things where sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. And
yeah,
I mean, it wasn't a bad match.
No,
it was not a bad match. It just...
Well, you see it with the guys at the top too. So the PWI top 500 wrestlers came out this week. Number two is AJ Styles, and number three is Kevin Owens. You'd think anytime the two of them faced each other, you'd get a five-star classic, but their matches have just been very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
There's something just sort of slightly off with it, and that happens. There's nothing wrong with it. So.
Yeah, nope. And then the final match, which is by far my favorite, almost out of all, I mean, I like several of these out of all four, but like this is by far my favorite. Tessa Blanchard, no relation to me, versus Kairi Sane. This was an amazing match.
So Kairi Sane is, I can't remember. I think she's somewhere in the middle of stardom in Japan. Has three female wrestlers who are just absolutely killing it, and three of the absolute best out there, male or female.
Mm-hmm.
And so when WWE signed her, it was a huge deal. I don't want to bring this up because it makes me sad, but anyway, she has had issues with concussions.
Mm-hmm.
Behind the scenes info here, she suffers a concussion in a later round of this tournament. Which is why the final hasn't happened yet, because there are delays because of injuries.
Oh, no.
But it sucks, especially after we just talked about Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson, whatever you want to call him.
Whatever, yeah.
In the previous episode, and his issues, and whether or not he can return, and as well as whether or not he should return.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really unfortunate. I mean, hopefully she's fine. We'll find out. So WWE does pay attention to this stuff now, which is a huge improvement over how it used to be.
Yep.
And yeah, good. So both of these women can wrestle. Tessa's 22 years old, another extremely young.
And she has wrestling lineage. I mean.
Yeah, Tully Blanchard's daughter.
Yep.
Yeah, this was really good. Kairi Sane has one of the best elbow drops you'll ever see.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. I had heard that she does it as well, possibly better than even the Macho Man, and this was the first time I really saw it. I'm gonna go look at some of the other ones on YouTube at some point, but holy cow, does she pull it off well. It looks like she absolutely drills her opponent. Hopefully she doesn't, by the way.
Yeah.
Because apparently those hurt. Just ask Charles Robinson, who broke a bunch of his ribs. And oof. But yeah, this was a really good match. I am very excited to see more of Kairi Sane. And Tessa Blanchard, man, I thought she was good enough. She could be on TV now, but some more seasoning, that kind of thing, will never hurt.
Yep.
She's got a whole lot of time ahead of her. I mentioned, you know, she's only 22 years old.
Absolutely. There was one point in the match, and this image will be in the post here, where Kairi goes to wrap her up, and JR's... This is why we need JR back on regular commentary. JR's description of it was that octopus-like hold of Kairi, because it's the way that Kairi has basically wrapped her left leg around Tessa's neck, and she's got her right leg turned in, and she's just kind of half, you know, up on Tessa's back, almost like Tessa's a life raft. Like Kyrie fell off the Titanic or something. This hold just looks so friggin' cool.
There's a bunch of... So one thing, too, all of these women do really good submissions. I don't remember seeing any and thinking, that's kind of loose, or that's kind of lazy application, that kind of thing. Yeah, like I'm the expert, but still. point out the fact that I don't know what the hell I'm doing. But anyway, she, both women in this looked good. Going forward, just one of the questions. So I mentioned it more than a few times, and so have you. Mm. These women are all pretty much all young.
Yeah.
I almost wonder what you do with all of them, because there's so much young talent coming up. I don't want to see another 205 Live where WWE makes a new show and just dumps them in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But in the future, eventually, and a lot of this is because of the really strong, good women wrestlers from years ago that have started coming up, Trish Stratus, Lita, Beth Phoenix, a lot of those were mentioned as women that a lot of these younger wrestlers coming up were interested in and inspired by. So, I mean, I kind of wonder what you do with them in the future. There's going to be enough talent to do something more than what they have now. Although, you know, part of the problem is just the fact that SmackDown and Raw are not very good at the moment.
Yeah.
And the time allocation just flat out sucks, period. Not just for the women, but for the men.
Yeah. You'll have to let me know about this, because I don't know, because I don't watch it.
In
NXT, in the women's part of NXT, like, could they eventually go to NXT and do some sort of either feuding with each other or feuding with whoever's already on NXT?
Oh, yeah.
Any of the current...
They'll go to NXT.
Yeah.
It's just, where do you go after that? And NXT is not... NXT is what it is. It's a really good sort of development for WWE. It's a place to season some of these people before they're brought up. Some of them didn't necessarily need it. Somebody like Bobby Roode knew what he was doing the second he wandered into the company.
Yeah.
Joe probably would have been okay too, but somebody like Kevin Owens, who worked as Kevin Steen forever in the indies, never necessarily was familiar with working hard cams and that kind of thing. Somebody like him will say that it helped him, even though he only spent 7 months there. But for the women...
I mean, you look at Charlotte and Sasha. Honestly, anybody that's on the Raw or SmackDown roster now that came up from NXT, I mean...
It's all of their good ones, essentially. I mean, aside from... Natalia's sort of a holdover from the era where they didn't... She was one of the few really good wrestlers from an era when they didn't care about it.
Yeah, and again, Natalia has lineage with, you know, all of that. I mean, am I saying that lineage should be the only... Hell no. I'm just saying that that's one of the reasons why she is still around. Natalia Neidhart, that, you know, the Hart family and all that, it's because of that naming that... It's partly because of that that she's still around. And she is a good wrestler when she's allowed to actually wrestle.
Yeah. Which she is now, finally. So,
because as of this recording, she's SmackDown Women's Champion.
Well, that, and I mean, they actually give them time, and
it's
not go out there and fill 5 minutes and be a bathroom break match anymore.
Yeah.
It's, they're allowed to main event, they're allowed to have ladder matches and do the same sort of things the men are, finally, which is something that was long overdue, but...
Oh, absolutely.
In any case, I wonder what you do eventually. It's a great problem to have that the division is starting to get stacked as it is. I mean, Asuka's on her way up to SmackDown and Raw. She held the NXT title for over 500 days, which is insane. And she's just absolutely phenomenal. Her worst match is better than a lot of best matches I've seen from wrestlers. So it's just, it, like I said before, it's a great problem to have. Some of them I almost hope they don't stay with WWE, because there's a saturation point at some point, and they can probably do better with some of the independent promotions that are coming up. You've got WCPW that puts on a lot of its shows on YouTube and is quite good. There's the AAA thing, that name I can't remember. That's great. Who have started using Twitch to show pay-per-views and larger events. There's Lucha Underground, which is on Netflix and other places and presented as a television series, which is really different. So there's a lot of options for everybody, at least, or at least there's more. It's just, I almost wish there was a WCW again. There needs to be some sort of major competition on television
for WWE. For,
because it would force WWE to be better. Yep. Because one of the issues we have now is, I want to watch wrestling. Well, SmackDown and Raw are not good. What else can I watch that's on TV that I can watch live? There's not much. I mean, TNA/GFW is shown on fairly obscure channels. You can occasionally get Ring of Honor and some of those, but it's not the same. It's not the same as it was, where you could flip the channel and, oh, look, Nitro, you know, Raw sucks, I'm going to watch Nitro this week, or whatever. It's we don't have those options anymore. And more to the point, the wrestlers don't have those major options. They can take more money, or sometimes less money, for exposure in WWE, or you can take your chances trying to get consistent indie bookings.
Yeah, even if some of these women that are so far, at least in these first four episodes, the first round of this Mae Young Classic here, even if some of them go off away from WWE and then, you know, come back, like, you know, take AJ Styles. He went all around the world, you know, and then finally came to WWE. So even if some of these women don't get called up or don't get used right away, even if they were to use them, you know, like I was trying to say earlier, was, you know, have them in NXT with a feud with whatever storyline you want to set up, and then whichever one, like, well, let's just say, and I don't think this would actually work in a match, it might, let's just say Tessa Blanchard versus Ripley. And, you know, those are two powerhouses. Let's say they feud for a while back and forth over the NXT Women's Championship, and one of them beats the other one, and they're, you know, they have that attitude of, okay, I'm done with you. Kind of like the whole Kevin Owens thing. I'm done with you. I want to go get an actual WWE Championship or whatever. And then you have her, whichever one, go into WWE and challenge for either the Raw or the Women or the SmackDown Women's Championship. I don't know. It just, like you said, there is a saturation point, and I think WWE is almost shooting themselves in the foot with this. Because what's supposed to be the outcome of this tournament? What are they supposed to win? Are they supposed to win a spot on the main roster? Are they supposed to win a spot in NXT? What's the? Because that's the one thing I have not heard anything about, other than the fact that this is going to be the first ever Mae Young Classic winner.
It's generally a belt and a trophy for these. They've done it with the European belt is defended on NXT on occasion, or the title from the UK tournament is defended there. So I suspect it'll be sort of a similar kind of scenario, or, you know, maybe they won't do a belt, or they won't have it defended, who knows. But I think this is just, it's anything they can do to make things better for wrestling in general is going to help them. So it's just something that kind of makes sense for them to do, just so that they can give these women exposure, give a lot of their younger ones that are in development or not, the opportunity to face somebody different or to face some veterans or just to see what it's like when you're on camera, figure out if they want to do it. All of this helps them in the long run. And I think I would suspect anyway, that's the real reason for doing it. The other reason too, just to be blunt, is they've canned a lot of stuff on WWE Network. Mm-hmm. And they need something to convince people to get it.
Yeah.
Because I still maintain it's a good deal. There's a lot of great content that they have kept, but man, they've axed a lot of shows. And if you're trying to convince somebody who's on the fence about getting it, not having any new shows or new content, not a good way to do it.
Mm-mm. Nope. The first round of the Mae Young Classic, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was really, really fun. Overall, I'll give it a 4 out of 5 for the entire thing.
Do the same. And I definitely think it's worth checking out if you're a fan of wrestling, period, or in general at all.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's entertaining. It's a very different presentation than we're used to at this point with WWE and the others, which also makes it kind of worth checking out just because it's something different. I'm not trying to trash.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But it's something it's not something that you see all the time. It's different from how even the other places I listed are portrayed.
Yeah, I mean, like, the only flash and panache and style kind of thing that you really see in this, the only production value you see in this, is either the video packages or the entrances. Like, there's no, you know, theme music hitting, you know, if one of these women hits her signature. Like, they were all clamoring for Kairi to do the elbow drop. You know, they were all clamoring for her to do all her moves that apparently the entire audience already knows because they've seen her more than I have, which is fine, you know. But that's essentially the only, you know, flash to the substance of the rest of this is the opening entrances to each of the women. And I like that a lot. I think that's great.
I should note, too, it was filmed at Full Sail University, which is where NXT is filmed. Mm-hmm. So I think that helped, too. The audience is a little more... It's much smaller than you're used to if you watch Raw, SmackDown, and the like. But it's very sort of rowdy audience. They go along with what's being shown. And for the most part, I thought they did a good job of kind of adding to it. They also don't make it about themselves. You don't see dumb stuff like... The audience isn't playing with a beach ball in the middle of a match. It wasn't filled with this is awesome chants or that kind of thing. The audience is just there they cheer what they enjoy.
Yep.
And they just kind of stay out of the way for the rest of it.
I did like the let's go back and forth chants. I thought that was kind of cool.
They do that a lot in NXT. I like that they, you know, it doesn't matter if they're presented as a good guy, bad guy, or good girl, bad girl, they are just willing to cheer them for working hard and that sort of thing. And that's something I can kind of get behind. Because, I mean, there's not those backstage vignettes telling everybody this is who you should cheer for and why. And if you're cheering for this woman, well, she just, I don't know, stole somebody's boyfriend or something. Something really bad.
Somebody stole Candice LeRae's husband.
Yeah, somebody stole Johnny Gargano. Well, to be fair, Tomas Ciampa sort of did, but that's another story.
Okay.
That's a great feud in NXT. Anyway.
Cool. We did have one comment on the ThisWeekInGeek.net website from Jake Salo. For last episode, he says, I'm 100% with you both on SmackDown's championship. I was originally willing to give Jinder a chance to prove himself and be a good champ, but he really isn't.
Which is the right way to look at it, too, by the way. It's just, I don't mind that they gave him the chance. It's just, yeah. Anyway, sorry, continue. Sorry to cut you off, dude.
And he said exactly what we said. His character is very one-dimensional, and he is incapable of winning without the help of someone else. It really reminds me of when Seth was champ and J&J Security or Kane were always interfering to keep him from losing the belt. Except way worse. I'm really hoping someone else gets it soon, preferably Shinsuke, since he really deserves a shot. He says, as for the content you'll be putting out with the podcast, I wouldn't mind hearing you guys talk about older stuff, like previous Royal Rumbles or something with a huge iconic spot like King of the Ring 98. I can tell both of you have a lot of passion for the WWE and the content it produces, and I enjoy the podcast, so it would be cool to keep hearing y'all talk about it.
Nice. And to respond to him, too, I mentioned the PWI... Top 500. Well, for SmackDown people, Styles, Owens, Nakamura, Ambrose isn't there anymore. Bobby Roode is there, but he's new. So you've got four guys right there who are above Jinder in the listings. Now, the listings are not the be-all, end-all, but those are four guys not involved in... the title picture, with the exception of Nakamura, obviously, but he's got to fight Randy for a rematch.
Yeah.
So, in general, my feeling is that your best guys should be the ones competing. If you watch football, or baseball, or hockey, soccer, basketball, whatever, generally, the best players and the best teams are the ones winning. Now, wrestling, because it's predetermined, there's other stuff that goes into it. But still, I just feel like your best performers should be the guys at the top. Why aren't they?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's just and baffling to me.
You know, and who knows what's going... And we can talk about this next time or whenever, but, you know... talking about certain guys burying other guys every time they're out. Well... Mr. Free Agent over there is now doing something on Raw, so SmackDown can do whatever the hell it wants to do without having to worry about John coming in. And eventually John's going to go back to SmackDown because of that 17th championship and to break the record and be the new record holder and all of that.
We assume so. It would be really stupid for them to not do it when they have the opportunity, or to at least not try.
If they don't want to
do it now, or they don't have him surpass it, because Flair is recovering now, by the way, which is great news, and he's getting better. But hypothetical, and I really hope this doesn't happen, and I don't, you know, I certainly wish him nothing but the best. But hypothetical, if something happens to Flair in the next few years, I would understand them going, you know what, just because of timing. Maybe we don't have Cena break the record. And it's not that he doesn't deserve it. It's just...
it's the timing of it all.
Yeah. So
and it's funny you say that, because that was my thought now. With the news coming out about Rick being in the hospital and potentially in bad shape. Like, until I saw the thing of him recovering and getting better, that's why I thought John went... outside of storyline, in real life, that's why I thought John went to Raw... to go away from and let Jinder and Randy and all of the SmackDown people fight over the championship for now. That's what I thought, was because, holy shit, if Ric Flair dies, that would just be cruel and unusual punishment to have John beat his record as soon as the guy dies.
Oh, by the way, his record's gone now, too. Oh, yeah, that's nice, WWE. Real classy.
Yeah, that would not be good at all.
No. So,
and I don't mean to laugh, folks. I'm just saying that.
No, it would just be terrible.
It would be terrible.
It would make them look bad. And
absolutely.
It's just not a nice thing to do. And to be blunt, they've done a lot of not nice things with that family.
Yeah.
Over the years too, and that's something that they should not mess around with. So that's a scenario where maybe Cena doesn't break it. But I would assume he's going to. And yeah. to your point, too, that people want to bring up that Cena's going to bury young talent, that kind of thing. Cena does what he's told. Yeah,
no, I
mean,
I know he does.
If,
yeah.
If he's booked to beat somebody who's younger, now you can talk about the way that he beats them. That is something we're not privy to, so who knows? But yeah. in any case, if he's told to go out there and beat somebody younger who may be hotter than he is or is up and coming, that's a job. He's got to go out and do it.
Well, yeah. I mean, no, I'm just saying that...
No, I know. I understood what you're saying. I'm just rebutting yeah. the people on the internet that always say, well, Cena's going to bury talent. Listen, it's, I got my issues with Cena, but again, he does what he's told. You know, Stone Cold didn't want to give away a match with the up-and-coming Brock Lesnar, so he walked out and quit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cena doesn't want to do that. He obviously loves the business. So he's going to go out and do what he's told, one way or another, win or lose. It's not up to him.
I don't remember. Did we mention the Cena thing last time?
Which?
The video of all the fans surprising him.
Oh, no. Which, oh we've talked about it a lot. The fact that he does a lot of charity work. A lot of yeah. the wrestlers do. I think I've mentioned it before, too, that... if the wrestler is a heel, WWE will not show videos of it. Which
right,
is,
but if
which is
a
kind
face,
of
they do.
Yeah, which is kind of unfortunate because a lot of the heels do an awful lot of work for it as well.
Yeah, that's one
for Make-A-Wish. But in any case, I can understand why they sort of want to protect the business.
Yeah. Well, they did this whole video. I'll have to see if I can find it again about the fans basically. Someone came in and gave John, like, I don't know, 19, 20 letters, whatever else, and he read them all on the video, on air kind of thing, and whatever else. And
instances and, where he inspired somebody, by the way.
Yeah, well, absolutely, yeah. And then all of these people came out and surprised him and this, that, and the other. It was just such a cool, cool video.
Have some of the best fans in the world. A few of them have written you some thank you cards.
Okay, well, let's check them out. Hey, Cena, thank you for changing my life. 2011, I was left for dead after getting hit by a car. When I woke up in the hospital, the doctor told me I would never wrestle again, let alone walk. One thing I learned from you was to never give up. Thank you for being a positive role model for a generation of kids who watched you growing up. Dear John, you have heard thousands of times, but you deserve to hear it 1,000 more. Thank you. By the time I was 19 years old, I had lost both of my parents. Never give up. Those words repeated in my head because you were my light in a decade of darkness. Dear John Cena, your words never give up has helped me fight for a chance to be a mother through adoption. Many years passed and things seemed impossible, but you helped me believe that my dream can become real. This year finalized my adoption. My time to become a mother has become a reality. You, John Cena, changed my life.
All right, so I have one more thing to show you, and we have a video of him just telling you a story.
Sure.
My mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, and when she got her results, I asked her, what her results were. And she said they were positive. And I was crying, and I was shocked. John Cena's message helped my family because I got his wristband that he gave to me, and, when my mom was having her 6-hour surgery, I gave her the wristband that I told her to never give up. And she's now cancer-free.
It's pretty cool. At a young age, he has such great perspective. It's really cool to see, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for everything you've done.
Stop. Stop.
For my family.
Get over here.
Coolest surprise ever. You're extremely strong, you know that? That's pretty cool.
This is what you gave him. He made sure that through my cancer journey, I'd say, Mom, Sina says never give up. And I'm now cancer free.
That's great.
Hi, John.
Not handicapped, I'm incapable because of your message.
Your mind goes to a dark place when you get injured. Never give up. And you know that I learned that from you. Fell into a deep depression, and I just given up on life. I got back on my feet. You showed me I can. I owe it all to you.
Wow.
Thank you for changing all of our lives.
That's extra special. Thank you. I don't know what to say. Just remember that you guys do the work. And I mean that. And don't think that you're the only one who's up against it. And don't think you're the only one who doesn't have challenges to face every day. Well, you all lead by example. And I mean it when I say it. Never give up. This is a championship squad right here. Pleasure to meet you. This is a great moment, like some really, really heartfelt stuff. And it's a reaffirming message of be mindful that your actions affect those close to you. Scared the jeebies out of me.
Our stories touched him.
How often does someone get to tell their hero about what they did for them? This is one of those extremely rare moments, and I really appreciate that.
That was the coolest surprise ever.
The other video I saw in the last couple of weeks, at least since the last time we did episode 25 of the podcast, was the one about where, I forget, it was some metal music website, I forget what it is, I'll find it later and put it in the post, where they interviewed various WWE stars and what kind of rock and roll music and things like that that they like, and of course, Jinder was the one that said he liked Nickelback, and the video just kind of slows down. And
he's Canadian.
Yeah, I know, and I understand that, and that's fine. I'm just saying, my point in bringing this up is not the Jinder Nickelback thing. It's seeing someone like Braun Strowman or Bray Wyatt almost out of character and talking about metal. I'm like, wow, that is so cool.
Oh, the Strowman stuff especially. There's a lot of Braun Strowman reacts or Braun Strowman reads children's stories and stuff like that, which is hilarious. Who would have thought, by the way, I and a lot of other people completely wrong about him. When he debuted, he looked so green is usually the term used. And I honestly didn't think he had a future or anything. Now he is absolutely a bright spot anytime he shows up on Raw, or well, he's only on Raw now, but yeah, I was wrong about him.
Yep, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, Braun is one of my favorites now. Like, I absolutely love him. You know.
Yeah, and if you ever want to as well, and for people who are on the fence or don't like Reigns, watch some of his stuff, not as Roman Reigns, that's online, when he's actually allowed to be himself. Stuff like some of the old 2K panels where they're talking about the games. There's one in particular I'm thinking of, and I can't remember which year it is, but anyway, it's Reigns and Cesaro go completely off script and just start ripping each other. And it's amazing. The two of them are so good. Reigns has so much talent when he's not given a script and doesn't have to just remember lines. And Cesaro is the same. But of course, that's not what they're supposed to / allowed to do. Boo.
Yeah.
I mean, Austin said it before, too. If he was just given a script, he doesn't think the Stone Cold stuff or any of that would have happened.
No, it wouldn't have. Honestly, it probably wouldn't have. And, you know, Stone Cold is somebody that doesn't, you know...
He was okay.
He was okay. I'm gonna knock you out. The hell? Give me a hell no for Ryan, folks. Alright, next time around, we're gonna talk about NXT Brooklyn 3, which was the NXT TakeOver right before SummerSlam.
Yay.
So, yay. We're gonna talk about that. And after that, who knows? Like I said, No Mercy's coming up, and whatever SmackDown one after that is, I don't have the page pulled up. So, where can people find you online, sir?
At Nightbeat on Twitter.
There you go. I am at TFU and Mike on Twitter. You can follow at Geekcast Radio and at This Week in Geek on Twitter. Visit the websites geekcastradio.com and thisweekingeek.net.
Send in comments if there's any particular pay-per-views or anything you want us to watch. Because obviously we're kind of going through stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm excited that you're going to watch a TakeOver pay-per-view because they are terrific. Imagine the women's classic, but...
Except with men, yeah.
Well, that and longer matches where they're able to tell a story, but still the minimalistic kind of attitude, not the...
What I'd like to kind of do is, at some point, I'd like to, specifically with, like, Kevin, with Owens and Zayn, I'd like to look at their feud through NXT going up to Raw and SmackDown. Like,
nice, yeah.
You know, like I said, like we said last time, I almost thought that it was going to be Sammy and Kevin teamed up again. Obviously, that didn't happen because... He didn't want him as his referee, but, like, I was kind of hoping. Because I never, like, originally saw that. I mean, I saw the fallout of that feud. And, like, I saw Owens obviously destroy Sammy and come up to WWE. And I saw their feuds the first few months that they were there. But I didn't see any of the original NXT stuff that they had done when they were friends and all of that and everything else. So yeah, it's going to be... fun and interesting, and we'll just have to see what happens.
You just made the list!
All clear.
When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
Pizza.
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Offers require porting of number not currently active on T-Mobile network. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams at up to 40p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.
When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza. Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Offers require porting of number not currently active on T-Mobile network. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams at up to 40p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.